So I wanted to bring in Kyle Collinsworth to talk a little bit about these things. What's up, KC?
What's up, my man? How's it going?
Oh, living the dream, man. We're just talking hoops, talking football, trying to find answers. We're looking for answers regarding this BYU basketball team, and no one has any answers, right? JT says, look, I hate to say it, but they're just a young team. They don't have any seniors guiding them, leading them down this pathway through the West Coast Conference. He keeps on talking about just youth, and that seems to be the soup du jour that everyone's serving us today.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against that because they're obviously super young. I think one of the biggest things is they're also used to scoring, which is, I mean, as a coach, that's something if you don't have, you're out of luck, you know, if you don't have people that can score the ball. So that's not BYU's problem. I think the question is when you're not scoring, what are you doing? So I think that is time with this team as they play more and more, people will have more roles of, you look at guys and you're like, that guy is the rebounder for BYU. That's the assist guy, you know, that's the defender. And so right now I think, you know, roles haven't been filled yet, just with the new team and with the youth and all that stuff. And I think it'll come with time. But the bright side is you have scorers and you have talent. And, you know, BYU has that. So it's going to be exciting. Exciting to watch the end of this season and the future seasons.
You know, I was pretty optimistic going into the season because, you know, I saw some, you know, potential hurdles that they had to get over defensively and also rebounding. I thought a guy like Elijah Bryant was going to be able to step in and do some of the things that you were able to do on the floor, and that was rebounding, defense, and also to accrue a double team when you penetrate so that you could dish out to others. But that injury really set him back. What are your thoughts on Elijah's progression since he's been a little bit more healthy? And do you think he can become a similar player to you in those aspects?
Yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's still super young. And so I think one thing he has that you can't teach is size and strength. So I think with him, once he realizes what his strengths are, I think in my career, that's what opened doors for me, is my freshman year, obviously playing with Jimmer, Jackson, Charles, Brand, all those guys, is I had to figure out, how am I going to play? What's going to get me on the floor? And for me, it was rebounding. I mean, I rebounded for that team.
Yeah,
I rebounded the crap out of the ball. And I knew that got me, I think I averaged 30 minutes a game, close to that, as a freshman on that team. Because I did something, one thing great. And from there, it came into playmaking, assist, being able to do that. So I think once guys start to establish what they do great, and build from that, you're going to see this team do, you know, magical things.
I have a theory on, you know, the whole youth argument, and I think depth is definitely a big issue, and within depth you have competition, right? And I think competition brings out the best in all of us, and when there's competition on a daily basis in practice, it steps up your playing as well. And I look at the bench and I look at the depth on the bench, and there's no one really pushing these young guys. There's really no one saying, hey, you know, I'm going to steal your job if you don't become specialized, if you don't become very good at one thing. And that's just my theory. What are your thoughts on that theory?
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. And it's not saying, I mean, just everyone's young. So it's, I mean, these guys are going to be here for three more years after the season. So, yeah, I definitely could agree with that. But I think once the team can start, even for, you know, as individuals, like what gets you, for me in my career, it was rebounding. That if I was in a funk, during a game, I tell myself, crash the boards. And as an individual, that got me in my rhythm. And so I think even from an individual standpoint, once these guys figure out better, like what gets them in a rhythm.
Yeah, finding a rhythm.
That'll open up doors. What gets them going? In tough games when you're on the road or stuff like that, how do you get out of the funk or whatever during a game?
Yeah, we got Kyle Collinsworth on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. JT also said, he's like, look, a lot of people want to put it on the coaching staff and he doesn't believe it's on the coaching staff. You know, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Like, you got to figure out ways of putting your guys in the right positions to make plays. And then the young guys obviously have to be able to execute what their coaches are talking about. Even Derek talked about how he had coaches tell him exactly what to do and how to do it, and yet he'd go out there and make mistakes. You know, how right. If you're looking at this as a I call it the pie chart of accountability or pie chart of blame, you know, how do we delegate that pie chart of accountability between coaches and players?
Yeah, I don't think it's coaches, and I don't think you ask the question, how do we? I don't think we do, because we don't know. We're not there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When things were going wrong when I was on the team last year, I knew because I was in the locker room, you know. I was in all that stuff. We knew what was going on. We knew what we needed to do. But right now for them, it's, you know, they know what they need to do. It's just a matter of doing it, and that's the tough part in every aspect of life. So I don't think we know. I think they know. They have a clear hand on it. It's just a matter of doing it. And that's the challenge.
I think, you know, I look back at tough times during certain seasons when I was playing football, and a lot of times internally you talk about the problems. You don't really vocalize them out there in the media because, you know, a lot of times it is guys messing up and not being good enough in certain areas. And for Coach Rose to come out and say, yeah, you know, we've pinpointed the problems, you know, so-and-so is lacking in effort. He's not doing this right, this right, or this right. I mean, that's not going to do anything positive. So,
no.
You know, a lot of times coaches they'll share the platitudes and the normal coach speak and stuff. But I think you're right. You know, I think you probably better than us can analyze things from the outside. But even you aren't at those practices or in those meetings or at halftime during that game in Pepperdine. I think they may know what's wrong, and you know, most people are too ignorant to, and they're not involved enough. They're not inside to be able to figure that out truly.
Right. I mean, everyone has the answer, right? Especially when pressure's not on you. You're just from the outside. You know, like when you just watch a game at home, it's so easy. I was doing this the other day. I was watching a game and someone missed like a easy shot. I was like, come on, man. I had to stop. I'm like, I'm positive I missed an easy like shot around the rim like that. In fact, I think I did it the game before. So I'm like, it's just kind of second nature to sit when you're not involved, like, you're not invested, but you're not the one out there doing it. It's easy to criticize and it's easy to say, you know, you have all the answers. But, you know, I'm very confident that BYU has the answers and, you know, they're going to finish the season strong and it's going to be a bright future.
Yeah, and I guess that's the message to the fan base, right? I mean, I'm trying to walk people off the cliff a little bit here, and they're so disappointed because the expectations were so high. And I was like, well, you weren't calculated in your expectations, obviously, early on in the season. So what do you say to them? What's the message?
I mean, it's just, I think it's as a fan. I mean, as a player, when you read that stuff, and you try not to, but it just doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. Like when you just hear all this stuff, like, oh, this person or whatever, I just don't think it helps. So if you're wanting to help as a fan, I just don't think that's helping. To be honest. And I get it. I get the frustration. You're frustrated because you care and you're invested. And I get that completely. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's the solution. I don't think it's helping.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, without the fans, there's no game, right? So
exactly.
It's cool that they're invested.
Absolutely.
Kalani Sitake says it all the time. You know, I love hearing the criticisms from the fans. I mean, they're invested. They care. But I remember going back to a game after I stopped playing, and I'm sitting with Rob Morris's mother. She's sitting right next to me. And his brother's on the other side. And, you know, Rob Morris, one of the greatest linebackers to ever play at BYU. And you know, I'm sitting in the stands listening to the fans just trash Rob Morris for missing a couple of tackles. And I'm sitting right next to his mom, and she's getting tears in her eyes because some of these fans are so critical. And I'm thinking, gosh, guys, they're double teaming him every single play. Like, he's still getting to the ball.
He's got both guards getting to the second level on him and pinching him.
You know, and they just don't understand. I mean, I love that they're that passionate, but, you know, in the second quarter, I finally had to, you know, stand up and turn around and just say, you know, look, you're sitting in the family section at the BYU football game. You know, just you need to shut your mouth. And, you know, I told them I was going to escort them out of the stadium if they didn't bite their tongue. But, I mean, just because I bled with that guy, you know. I think you, Casey, I mean, you know how much time and effort and energy and blood that these young kids have put in. And they're young and they're not there yet. But, you know, a lot of times us as former players, we get a little bit too over emotional going the other way because we're just like, man, shut up, fans. You know, you guys need to just bite your tongue and just wait and be patient. Well, you know, it's just, you know, they're fans, they're fanatics, and that's cool. And, and we love Cougar Nation, and we want you to be vocal and all that. So,
Casey,
I mean, it's a tough balance for sure. But I agree with what you're saying. Go ahead.
Tell us a little bit about the Texas Legends, man. That dunk you had a couple nights ago. Oh, that was mad. Like, seriously, I think your athleticism, surprisingly, has definitely improved from the last time I saw you in Cougar Blue. Obviously, I've been watching some of these games at the Texas Legends, but you got up, man. You feeling pretty bouncy right now?
Yeah, minus I hurt my ankle on Saturday. I actually pretty bad, so I won't be back till after All-Star break. But, yeah, I mean, just as a player, I'm always figuring out how to take care of my body. You know, yoga, stretching a lot, eating healthy, getting good sleep. So I'm just always finding out ways to, you know, get better. And, you know, trying to get more athletic as I get older. So
we'll try to get something on you. We'll try to get something on you to help out that ankle. But I've been checking out athletesguide5.com. You kind of share a lot of these ideas with us. And so I've been, you know, trying to get my athleticism and get a little bit better in shape, get that athleticism up. The 3x3 challenge. Tell me a little bit about this body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah, I just always, you know, you always hear if one of them's off, you know, they're off. They go hand in hand, body, mind, and spirit. So the whole idea is if you do three things every day, three of your most important things for your body, mind, and spirit every day, you know, it's going to be a great day. And it's going to build momentum for the rest of your day. So when I wake up, for my mind, I try to write down the three most important things I can do for my mind that day and kind of make it a to-do list. I do the same thing with my body and spirit. And I always, whenever I do those three things, it kind of opens the door and I just do a whole lot of other good stuff. So I've been doing this for a couple weeks and I found great success with it. I've actually, since I started, been playing the best I've played all year. Just, you know, just with this kind of stuff in the morning. Set my day up.
It's, I mean, you look at it, and there's a lot of, you know, there's basic things. I'm tweeting out some of the things that you do right now just so BYU fans can kind of peruse and maybe try to apply these principles. But you start off body, right? You have a green smoothie, right? The green smoothie, what does the green smoothie do for you? Like, what are you trying to get out of the green smoothie? Why go with the green smoothie right off the bat?
Energy. I mean, the whole saying, you are what you eat. If I can provide some energy for me that lasts throughout the day, doesn't have me crash, then that's the start. That's all I need is just that energy, and obviously you get all the nutrients you need health wise. So that's why energy.
So you say lift as the number two with the body, but then you add core exercises. I mean, why emphasize the core exercises?
I mean, core is everything. So I've been putting a big emphasis this year on my core. So what I do is I do 20 core exercises a day, 15 reps.
What? Yeah. 20? That's way too many. I don't have time for that. How long does that take you?
About 15 minutes, not long at all. Just crank it out.
Just straight 15 minutes of core exercises.
What I do is I'll pick like three weight sets to do. I'll do two sets of that, and then I'll do five core exercises. And then I'll go and do three other weight stuff, five core exercises, three other weight, and just like that. That
sounds discouraging.
I can go with the you are what you eat. I got that one. I don't know about this next one, but
it's my job. So
Criddle doesn't remember eating a sexy beast this morning for breakfast, though.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Over there. Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I feel like a gangly, like unathletic, shoot, like, I don't know what type of food it would be, but what's gangly and, like, not at all good looking and unathletic? I don't know. Whatever that is, that's what I ate this morning. We got Kyle Collinsworth, the NCAA record holder, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Tell us how the Texas Legends are doing right now. What's their record, and how's the team coming together?
We've been in a little funk right now, but we got a big homestand. So we'll be, after All-Star break, we have, like, I think we have, like, 7 home games in a row. So we've been on the road a lot, so we're back at home, and we're excited to make, you know, a push this last month and a half or so.
What's the message that Dallas Mavericks management tells you? I don't know how often you meet with them and what their vision is for you within the organization. Have they expressed anything to you?
Yeah, I mean, Donnie Nelson is the owner of the Texas Legends, so he's at most of the games. He's at practices sometimes. So they definitely have an eye on me. And, you know, when they released me, they told me why, and, you know, they're very clear about that, just improving my outside shot. And so that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I've been doing. So far, so good. And just, you know, I'm just trying to stay in the present and not worry about that stuff too much. You know, what are the Mavericks thinking, or what are other NBA teams thinking? I'm just trying to embrace the moment and just work as hard as I can.
Well, talk about your improvement this year. I've seen market improvement not only in athleticism but that shot as well. Where have you changed up mechanics a little bit? Where do you think you've improved?
Yeah, mechanics, and I think just reps. And then I think the last step would be just, you know, just letting it fly and believing myself. Just getting out of a rut of, you know, I just got so used to going to the hoop because that's what I did so well that, you know, I just didn't shoot as much. So just kind of changing my mindset has been the biggest thing of, you know, catch the ball, shoot first, and then it's drive, and then it's pass. So just changing the mindset, been able to do that a lot, and I've seen a lot of improvement.
When you're in your downtime, what's Kyle Collinsworth's downtime, if you even have any, right? Are you a movie guy? You read books? You study up on, like, nutrition? What is the downtime of Kyle Collinsworth look like?
I love to read, you know, anything. I'm reading Tim Ferriss' Tools of Titans book right now. So I like to read. I like to obviously work on my blog, answer comments back that people have. But if I'm just chilling, I don't want to do anything. I'm a big movie guy.
Recent movies.
I like movies.
Recent movies that you've enjoyed.
Honestly, there hasn't been that many that I've liked that have come out theaters.
It's been a little bit of a drought. I felt that same way.
It has. I was disappointed because my where we stay, there's a Cinemark literally right next door to our apartments. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see so many movies. I haven't seen a single one. Disappointed.
Yeah, 2017 hasn't been great. Not at all. I don't know. I mean, you know, end of the year, I did see the Star Wars movie. And I thought that was decent. It wasn't my favorite. You know, I feel like there was a lot of action in it. Not a whole lot of character development. But,
yeah.
I mean, what's the last movie that you saw in a theater that you were like, man, this movie's awesome?
A theater. I'm trying to think. I honestly can't remember.
I'll tell you one, but I have a confession. It is of a rating that not many people... see, but wait for it on you know, the edited version when it comes out. It's a Brad Pitt movie. It was Allied
World War II movie.
Yeah, World War II movie. I mean, I like the World War II movies. It's actually really good. There was some good circumstantial irony. I think it got like 4 stars on IMDb. I don't know what Rotten Tomatoes gave it, but I thought it was definitely good enough. It's one of the better ones that I've seen recently in the theaters. Because I feel like there's been somewhat of a drought.
Man, I saw Lion a couple days ago.
Was that good?
I may or may not have cried in the back row.
Okay, so I need to go see Lion.
Yeah, go check that out.
All right.
That's good stuff.
Well, there you go, Casey. There's one that you can go see.
All right. I might go see that tonight. I ain't got nothing going on.
Just chilling. Hit up the blog a little bit. Cougar fans, check out athletesguide5.com. I love it that you're actually interacting with the fans when they do have questions. So make
sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Cougar sure. fans, interact with KC. Kyle, appreciate you. Go see Lion tonight. Let me know what you think.
Okay, well, hey, Cougar Nation, don't get it twisted. I love Cougar Nation. They're the best fans in the world. So just want to shout that out to every BYU fan. You know, my whole 4 years there, the fans made it, and best fans in the world.
I'll tell you what, they loved coming to see you play, too. Every night, a chance for a triple-double. I can't, like, when it would be nice, I'll be honest, to have something like that to look forward to. And granted, sometimes Eric Mika's going off for a double-double. Right. But if there is kind of like an off night or something, you at least have that to latch onto and say, hey, this is why I come here. I get to see a transcendent player do transcendent things. And that sometimes that eases the burden of watching another L to a KenPom +200 team. But you got to keep the hope, right? You got to keep the hope. There's always hope. There's always the West Coast Conference tournament.
Listen, it's basketball, especially college basketball. It ain't over till it's over.
It ain't over till it's over.
So you don't want to be the person that says it's over and then it's not over and then you're like, oh crap, it's not over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're gonna be a fan. You know what I'm saying? Be all in, the best you can, and you never know what's gonna happen. I have bright hopes.
Love it, KC.
Bright hopes.
Just sprinkling a little bit of optimism. Rain, baby. No sir. A little bit of sunshine being raining on us. All right, man. All right, brother. Thanks so much for hopping on.
All right, y'all.